live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. It is Halloween. Can you believe that? It's October 31st, 2019. Halloween is now here. It's one of my favorite holidays of the year. You know, so many memories come to my mind when I think of this day. I remember my mom and my dad taking my sister and I out after school. And we would hit the streets and we would grab a... That's how you do it. That's how you do it. You got to grab the pillowcase. All right. You know the Halloween little jugs that you buy that are shaped like a pumpkin at, you know, your local store that are used for trick-or-treating. That's not how you do it. If you want to get, you know, the maximum amount of candy as possible, all right, you would have to go and grab a pillowcase and then go from house to house because you can hold so much candy in a pillowcase as opposed to a regular trick-or-treating jug that you see at your local supermarket, okay? So we would grab a pillowcase, me and my sister would dress up, and my parents would take us out, and we would go from house to house. And no, we wouldn't do it in our own neighborhood. You gotta go to the neighborhoods that got a little cheese, I'll just say that, and do Halloween right when are very generous when giving away candy. So, you know, we would hit up like Southfield or, you know, Bloomfield Hills. I remember one year we did that. And we would come back home with just so much candy. It was ridiculous. So, and some of my favorite costumes growing up, I remember probably my favorite one was when I was dressed up as the Blue Power Ranger. I was a huge, huge fan of the Power Rangers growing up. And I dressed up as the Blue Power Ranger one year. I'll never forget that costume. A very hot costume there. Also, I was Wolverine from X-Men. So, you see, I love superheroes. Love superheroes. One year, I think I was a ninja. That was pretty fun, you know? So, those are the ones I can remember off top right now. But be safe, folks. It's not great outdoors. You know, I really feel bad for the parents out there who may be listening and saying, yeah, Al, Halloween, do you see the weather, though? And you got to take out the little ones in the rain. And yes, snow is expected. The dreaded S word. Snow is expected later on this evening. So get your Halloween and, you know, get your trick-or-treating, I should say, done early. All right, parents? Because it's going to be nasty outside. But Halloween is here. And for those who are watching the Facebook live stream, at facebook.com/WKAR News. This was totally a last-minute thing for me. I did not plan on dressing up at all. I haven't dressed up for Halloween in a long, long time. But, you know, I found this afro that was sitting in my office, buried in a bin. And I knew I stored it there because I remember I wore it, if you remember, like a few years ago, you know, I think like year two when I was here at WKAR, I dressed up as like a groovy 70s sports reporter from the, you know, from that era. And I brought to you guys a 2-minute drill. So I still have the afro that I wore from that video. Again, it was buried in a bin. I found it and I said, all right, I'll partake in the Halloween dress up festivities today. So I'm rocking that right now. You guys can see it's a bad hair day for me. If you're watching the show
courtesy of Facebook.com/WKAR News. Also, want to give a shout out to El Chayo of WKAR. He actually supplied me with this this nice little smiley face. Well, not smiley face. It's a pumpkin face that I have right here on the desk on our Facebook live stream as well. So thank you, Chayo, for that. It's like a little pumpkin with blue hair. Yeah, giving you like some seductive eyes. So yeah, check it out. Thank you, Chayo. He literally just gave this to me, so I decided to throw it on the live stream as well. And behind the glass, we've got Alec Rio, current sports engineer for this Halloween edition of the show. And Alec, you partake in the festivities just like every other student here at Michigan State University. And I guess we got the 70s theme going. We didn't plan this. Again, I literally just said 5 minutes before the show, let me find this afro and be Afro Al today. You are just a 70. Look, you're like a
70s rock star.
Yeah, 70s rock star. You look like Jimi Hendrix right now, right? You're rocking your purple glasses, and you've got on like a 70s tie-dye shirt going on with the scarf over. You look like the white Jimi Hendrix.
There you go. Yeah, I know. Hey, got to show out for Halloween somehow. Let's see. I was planning on doing two Halloween things today because, you know, it just didn't do me any justice. It's my senior year, you know, so I got to show out, you know. So this year, for the first part of today, I'm going to be the 70s rock star. And then I'm going a little 80s. I'm going to be Freddie Mercury. I'm shaving all of this besides the mustache. And then growing my hair out. Yep.
Later on today, you'll be shaving your mustache.
Oh, no, everything but my mustache.
Everything. Oh, yeah, because Freddie, yeah, I just saw the Queen movie, actually, and my goodness, shout out to Rami Malek. He bodied that role. I see why he got an Oscar for it. But, yeah, he wore just the mustache, and that was it. So you're going to be Freddie Mercury later on.
Later on.
You know, tweet out a picture.
I'll send a picture.
I'll be sure to retweet, and you guys can see Alec is Freddie Mercury later on today, all right? That's awesome, awesome stuff. All right, when it comes to today's show, again, we'll be embracing the Halloween holiday that is today. And later on this hour, I want to have some fun. Well, this won't be fun. This actually won't be a fun conversation. But Halloween, it's fun, but it's also scary. All right? Now, I want to bring to you the top three things that I believe this sports season that I believe would completely scare MSU sports fans. All right? So I will bring to you my top three things that would scare MSU sports fans if they have not already happened. Cough, cough, MSU football. All right? So we'll dive into that. Also, I want to talk about a new commit for the Michigan State football team and what this means for MSU football moving forward. How big is this name for the program? And also, as promised, I'm going to dive into that Imani Bates Sports Illustrated cover story that we've been teasing for the last 3 days now, as Imani Bates of Ypsilanti, Michigan, becoming one of the top high school basketball players in the country, if not the top high school basketball player in the country. A really intriguing piece done by Sports Illustrated that alludes to this young man's greatness. But I want to make a few points when it comes to that story, all right? So, phone lines are open. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can call in and be a part of the Halloween edition of the show. You can also weigh in at Facebook.com/WKAR News. Again, watch the live stream there. You can see me with this crazy afro and Alec rocking his 70s gig. And you can comment below that video. Also, you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your quick hit headliners. All right, let's start here. It's only exhibition, but still, MSU women's basketball looked pretty impressive last night as they played host in the lone exhibition game of the year against Ferris State, winning 85-45 last night. Michigan State ranked as the number 17 team in the nation at the Breslin. That officially tips off the 2019-2020 campaign for MSU women's basketball. Michigan State had three players actually in double figures, led by a game-high 14 points from senior guard Shea Colley, who also added four rebounds and four assists. Sophomore guard Nia Clowden tallied 12 points, while freshman guard Maura Joyner Mojo made her MSU debut and had 11 points. I really believe she is going to be a standout player all season for Susie Merchant's team. She is very, very versatile. I believe that Brian Calloway profiled her in today's Lansing State Journal, did a great job of breaking down just how versatile she is indeed. Junior forward Nia Holly led the Spartans with 8 boards, and MSU overall dominated the boards 56-34. Also, 17 steals for Michigan State last night as well. So, Michigan State opening up the year. Exhibition play against Ferris State, 85-45, your final. Michigan State football got some good news for the future during its bye week. The Spartans picked up quarterback Noah Kim for their 2020 recruiting class last night. He made that announcement via Twitter that he was committing to Michigan State. He took an official visit to Michigan State for the Penn State game on Saturday. Kim, a 6'2", 180-pounder, who is a 3-star recruit according to 247 Sports composite rankings. He decommitted from Virginia Tech on October 23rd. He also had offers from Western Michigan, Fordham, Holy Cross, Howard, Sacred Heart, and William and Mary. Kim is the 15th 3-star pledge for the Spartans 16-player 2020 class, with legacy DB Darius Snow, the lone 4-star prospect. He is rated the 52nd best pro-style quarterback prospect nationally, and also Kim is the number 28th player in Virginia. Kim becomes the 6th offensive player to join that Michigan State class. And Detroit sports fans, I know it's Halloween, but this statistic I'm about to tell you is pretty spooky. The entire pitching rotation for the 2014 Detroit Tigers have won a ring with other teams. How sad is that? I know when watching that World Series win as the Washington Nationals beat the Houston Astros in Game 7 of the Fall Classic, giving the Nats their first ever World Series title in franchise history. I know that was incredibly tough to watch, especially when they showed Max Scherzer hugging Anibal Sanchez last night. I just said, oh my goodness, you got to be kidding me. Those are two guys who definitely were rocking the old English D and now have rings. So the list includes Justin Verlander. He won in 2017. Rick Porcello, he's a 2018 World Series champ. David Price, also a 2018 World Series champ. And now Max Scherzer and Anibal Sanchez with the Washington Nationals. Meanwhile, the Tigers have not won a World Series since 1984. If you're counting, that was 36 years ago. More on the World Series in just a moment. All right, the Detroit Pistons could not solve the young phenom that is Pascal Siakam as he dropped 30 on my team last night. That's Dwayne Casey's former team, swiftly beating Detroit 125-113 last night. The Raptors, of course, are the reigning NBA champs. The Raptors scored 37 in the first and third quarters, with four players getting at least 19 points in the win. Andre Drummond, he continued his double-dub streak, getting 21 points, 22 rebounds in the loss. The Pistons are now 2-3 and will travel to the United Center to face the Chicago Bulls tomorrow at 8 p.m. And did you check out this low light last night? Golden State Warriors fans, man, these past few weeks have been nothing but bad news, and the streak continued after last night's game. Warriors star Steph Curry, he took a hard fall and broke his hand last night. A source told ESPN's Ramona Shelburne that Curry has a fracture in the second metacarpal, the bone in the hand below the index finger. So according to MB Sports' Kareth Burke, who spoke with Warriors GM Bob Myers following the injury, quote, Steph Curry will have a CT scan to determine if surgery is the next step. A cast on Steph's broken hand could be an option too. Estimated time of recovery is unknown right now. So the Warriors were actually playing the Phoenix Suns, one of the NBA's worst teams. That's when Curry left the game and headed to the locker room after that spill. If you saw it, he went up, came down directly on his hands, and then a player fell on his back, and all of that pressure just really went on his hands. So Curry ended up finishing his night with 9 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds, and just 21 minutes of action. And the Warriors are already without all-star guard Klay Thompson, who suffered a torn ACL during the NBA Finals last year, leaving them down to 2 Splash Brothers in the midst of an already challenging season at the Chase Center. Golden State has trailed by 30 or more in 3 of their 4 games. And it's safe to say that the dynasty that was the Golden State Warriors, I think that's pretty much done. I know it's early and you're saying, Al, there's a lot of basketball left to play. But now Steph Curry's out, so you don't have any Splash Brothers left. And it's just doing what, like Draymond Green and company? Yeah, it's done. It's done. The Warriors aren't winning an NBA championship this year. Even with Steph Curry playing, this team was still struggling. All right, Darius Slay of the Detroit Lions, who has 1 year left on his contract extension he signed in 2016, he can't be traded until the 2020 league year when it opens next March. But he said Wednesday he hopes there's a different solution. When asked if he wants to finish his career with the Lions, Slay, who lamented the business side of the NFL last week, he said, quote, I wouldn't mind. He went on to say, quote, I wouldn't mind playing my whole career here. Who wouldn't want to just play on one team? But it's a whole business. Can't have your hopes up, end quote. The Lions fielded trade offers for Slay after he spoke up last week about the team's decision to deal his good friend and starting safety, Quandre Diggs, to the Seattle Seahawks for a 2020 fifth-round draft pick. And again, he was just not happy about that. He has been very vocal in letting it, you know, be known as to why he hasn't been happy about that. So Darius Slay, at least right now, is still rocking a Detroit Lions jersey. All right, and tonight you can enjoy some Halloween Thursday night football as the undefeated San Francisco 49ers. They have been good this year. They will hope to continue that hot streak as they face the Rook and Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. Following a loss last year, Niners quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo and his winning ways are bringing about comparisons to Bay Area greats of yesteryear. The top and last place teams and what has suddenly become perhaps the best division in football, the NFC West foes, collide on the latest edition of Thursday Night Football, Cardinals and 49ers. The Cards sit at 3-4-1, the 49ers at 7-0. 8:20 p.m. will be your kick time. You can catch it on Fox, the NFL Network, or Amazon Prime Video. And a glaring similarity between the teams is vast improvement from a season ago under rookie head coach Cliff Kingsbury. The Cards have already matched their win total for all of 2018, and Kyle Shanahan's Niners have left theirs in the dust with a 4-win 2018 forgotten and a sterling start through 7 games. Pretty impressive stuff. Shout out to both the Cards and the 49ers. Really been fun watching them throughout this season thus far. And a great job by Kingsbury and Shanahan. Awesome stuff there. I'll be tuned in a bit to that game tonight. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number you can call. You can also watch the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Tweet the show at WKAR News. Here we go.
So the general manager, Dave Martinez, the field manager. Here they are, one strike away, one out away. 3-2. Here it is! The Washington Nationals are world champions for the first time in franchise history.
Halloween to you all. Again, if you're just now tuned in to WKAR's Current Sports, we wish you a happy Halloween. Hopefully it is a safe one, and more importantly, not more importantly than being safe. I mean, what's more important than being safe, right? But I also want to note that I hope you stay dry and you stay warm, because it is a cold, rainy, and later on tonight, dare I say it, it's going to be a snowy one.
What?
Yeah, Russ. I said the same thing when I woke up this morning. So bundle up and get prepared. This is Michigan for you all. All right? Alec, for you, real quick, before I get to some breaking news that occurred, and I forgot to throw this in the headliners because it broke, I want to say, about an hour ago now. I saw it making the rounds on social media. I actually retweeted a reporter out there who, you know, heard through the grapevine this news. This will not be great news for Michigan State fans out there. But before I dive into that, what's your favorite Halloween memory, man? Do you have memories growing up and going trick-or-treating, going door-to-door?
I would always go in my neighborhood. Do you ever remember watching Naruto as a kid?
Naruto! That's some anime for you guys. Yeah, Naruto, for sure. I used to be a big Naruto fan, man. It's one of my favorite animes. Like, up there with Dragon Ball Z, I would say.
I know, it was the all-time favorite for me. And I remember one year, it was like third or fourth grade. My mom actually put together, you know how mothers, they're superheroes. This costume for, you remember Gaara, the sand, yeah, the hidden village of the sand? Like, she put together a an amazing costume for that. And yeah, I was Gaara for Halloween, and my brother was Naruto. And we had, I had the red paint on my hair, like the red hair dye, and my brother had the yellow hair dye, and like we had literally everything going for that. Just
that's awesome.
Yeah.
How much candy did you get on a given year?
Did you take like what
I used to do? We used to take a pillowcase and literally go door to door, and we had, I mean, just, can you just imagine a pillowcase full of candy?
That's a basic weapon.
I'm telling you, man, that's ridiculous, right? Mm-hmm. Or did you just have just a regular trick-or-treating, you know?
I remember having a sort of like a trick-or-treating bag like that, but not necessarily a pillowcase.
Yeah, that's how we did it. That's how we got down on the west side of Detroit, all right?
That's how hilarious.
Always finessed the system, man. That's awesome.
Great.
And if anybody out there has any, you know, or have any Halloween memories that you'd like to share on the air, would love to hear from you guys. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. All right, we can kill the intro music now because I want to deliver some bad news. Now, this is news that is not devastating, and the brother can still play, but it isn't news that you want to hear, especially in light of what we've already heard about this team being a bit beaten up before the start of the regular season. But I'm seeing out there, I have been seeing out there, it's been making the rounds on social media, that there is more injury news for the Michigan State men's basketball team leading up to the Champions Classic next week against number 2 Kentucky in Madison Square Garden, New York City. A source is telling people that big man Thomas Kithier suffered a broken nose in practice yesterday. He is expected to keep playing with a mask, but he will not be 100%. I am seeing, I retweeted actually Aaron Torres, who is a college hoops and college football reporter. And, you know, he's a writer and has a podcast as well. Aaron Torres says that he has a source that has told him that Michigan State big man Thomas Kithier broke his nose in practice yesterday. He will play, but if I had to guess, he'll probably be doing that with a mask. That's just not news you want to hear before the season begins, because it's been well documented. We already know about the news concerning Joshua Langford being out with a recurring foot injury. He will be reevaluated in January. That's already not great. And then we heard news just a few days ago about Kyle Arns, who is dealing with a high ankle sprain that could keep him out opening night. So Langford out, Arns question mark. And now Kithier with this broken nose. I think he'll still play, but my goodness. And that's the only thing. That's the thing. When you look at Michigan State basketball and you look at how talented this team is and how deep it is, especially at the beginning of the year, you have to make sure that you're healthy. I know that's easier said than done, and it's hard to really manage that. You can only control a few things when it comes to managing injuries, because freak accidents happen. You know, Thomas Kithier breaking his nose, it probably was on some, you know, freak accident play. Who knows? You know, I don't think anybody intentionally on his team said, you know what, I'm going to break Thomas Kithier's nose today. I'm going to go out there and headhunt him. No, that's not what happened. These guys are just competing hard, and things happen when you compete hard. But if I'm Tom Izzo, I tell you what, if, you know, especially at the beginning of the year, if I have, you know, any kind of large lead against an opponent, I'm resting my starters as much as possible. I'm resting my horses. And I think that Thomas Kithier, I mean, we debated earlier this week, you know, Thomas Kithier is in the running when it comes to solidifying that power forward spot. There's a lot of guys who I think could earn that spot as well, along with Kithier, who will be competing for that spot. I mean, you know, I bring up Marcus Bingham, I bring up Gabe Brown, you know, the list goes on. There's a lot of players that are competing for that spot, including Thomas Kithier, who was a pretty good piece to this team last year and really emerged quickly. And Tom Izzo addressed during media day how much he loves the synergy that both Nick Ward and Kithier have when they are out there on the court at the same time. So you do not need injuries before the start of the regular season. Again, if Michigan State somehow, some way, I think this is going to be a dogfight. I think the game against Kentucky is, you know, this is going to go out the window because Kentucky, I think, is really good. They're good every single year. They are ranked number two in the nation. You got number one and number two going at it. This is going to be a game that's going to go down to the wire. But if the basketball gods somehow rain down on Michigan State and bless them with some kind of crazy lead at any point in that game, I am resting my starters. The big name that I'm watching this year, who I thought broke down a bit last season, we all know, and it's a miracle that he didn't have a major injury because of the minutes that he logged every single night out there on the hardwood. That is the preseason National Player of the Year, Cassius Winston. That's the brother who you really can't afford to get injured. Because once Cassius gets injured, again, if you want to kill this number one snake that is Michigan State, you got to cut off the snake's head. Because when you cut off the head of a snake, the body will die. And that's how it is with Michigan State basketball. Historically, when it comes to point guards are the leaders at Michigan State basketball. They are the engine that drive the car. And if they aren't performing, it is a trickle-down effect. You can't afford Cassius Winston to get hurt in any way, shape, or form. That's why I was watching that game, that exhibition game against Albion. And once Michigan State stretched that thing out to like 20 points, I told the story about, you know, me sitting next to my guy, Ernie Boone of the Michigan Chronicle. We were sitting next to each other. I said, man, I would put Cassius on the bench right now and wrap him in bubble wrap. He would not get another minute. So I hate to deliver that news, but that's what it is. Good thing is, you know, broken nose, you can still play with. He'll have to put on the Richard Rip Hamilton mask and go out there and try to be productive. But just something you just don't want to hear as the year begins. All right, real briefly here, I want to touch on this Amani Bates story. Have you read, I've been pubbing this thing for the last 2 days now, have you read the Sports Illustrated cover that is trying to proclaim Imani Bates, the 15-year-old phenom who is the pride of Ypsilanti, Michigan, as the next big NBA superstar? Have you read it yet? And I gave you 2 days, so I hopefully most of you guys, if not all, have read it. But it's entitled Michael Magic LeBron .. Imani Bates ? Meet the 15-year-old next in line. You know, I did not see a lot of tape. I must admit, I did not view a lot of tape of Imani Bates before I dove into this piece just a few days ago. Because after I read it, it's written by SI's Michael Rosenberg. After reading it, I said to myself, oh my goodness, we may be seeing the second coming of LeBron James or Michael Jordan, because it hypes this young man up so much. So I went to the highlights. I immediately typed in Imani Bates highlights on YouTube and began to watch this young man just absolutely chew up and spit out other high schoolers who are his age. It's amazing. When you watch the highlight tape of Imani Bates, you can just tell this kid has some intangibles that can't be taught. Some of that is just, a lot of that is just God-given talent. But you can tell this dude has really worked on his game as well. This 15-year-old, this young kid has worked on his game. He's got a very pure shot. It looks great. He can come off the dribble and pull up right in your face. He's got a really nasty crossover. He's got great vision on the court. You can tell those things even though he's 15 and he's going against high school competition. You can look at certain intangibles and say to yourself, that kid's got something special. And there is some hype there. And as the piece goes on, you know, it actually starts off in the first graph. It talks about, you know, Imani, you know, waking up and he's trying to scarf down some waffles and eggs. And then he hops into the passenger seat of his father's Ford Expedition as he's eating. And then it goes on to say, quote, "It's another mundane day in the life of a sophomore high school basketball player, except this one has one goal." Quote, "To try to be the best player ever. Ever." Lofty goals. And then in the second graph, it goes on to quote, I believe, an anonymous college head coach who agrees with Imani's current high school basketball coach, who said, quote, "He is simply the best player I've ever seen. You have to see it to believe it," end quote. And then I had a moment. I had a moment where I stopped reading, backed away from my laptop a bit, and said, come on, man. The kid is 15 years old. And in this, you know, 2019 world that we live in, and I really feel like ever since Michael Jeffrey Jordan, the greatest basketball player of all time, ever since he retired, we have been having this debate about who is going to be the next Mike, who is possibly going to knock off MJ as the greatest player of all time. We've heard it countless times, to the point where it really is an exhausting sports topic. You know, we thought it was going to be LeBron James, and I think everybody can agree now that LeBron James is not the GOAT. But, you know, LeBron, though, I mean, you know, we have debates now because LeBron has become so big. What we're having debates now is as to who is going to be the next LeBron James as well. But we always are debating in sports as to who is going to be the next. And when I put in perspective this kid's age, when we put in perspective this kid's age at just 15 years old, even though this kid is undeniably talented as all outdoors, he is amazing. Just again, click on his highlight tape later on today if you haven't already seen this young man play. He is a phenom. But we are so quick to crown young players as the next. And I think it's a bit unfair, but it's what we do. Heck, a lot of eyeballs have read this SI piece. A lot of today's journalism, quote unquote journalism, is about creating hype so that you can get clicks, so that you can get views, so that you can get advertisers, so that you can get more money. That's what it's about. Because I think that when you read this, it is no doubt about it. This kid is pretty impressive. This young man in Imani Bates is incredibly impressive. But donning him the next great one, you know, next in line, Magic, Michael, LeBron, and then Imani Bates, it's like, wow. But you know what? I love what his parents did here. Because there's a part in this piece where, you know, his parents are discussing Imani's talent. And Michael asks his parents, you know, why allow a 15-year-old kid to do a Sports Illustrated cover story knowing that it's going to create a lot of stir, a lot of hype, a lot of hoopla. And I love this perspective. They looked at it and said that, okay, if Imani continues to tear it up the way he has torn it up on the basketball court, this kind of attention and pressure is going to come whether we like it or not. So why not at 15 years old expose him to it so that we can kind of coach him through how to deal with this hype, through how to deal with this attention, so that when he is ready to make that leap, because this is why I've been talking to a lot of people about this. A lot of people have been hitting me up, you know, that don't know much about Imani Bates and saying, okay, why doesn't he have a lot of scholarship offers right now from colleges out there? Well, when you look at Imani being 15, a sophomore in high school, by the time he graduates high school, the rule will probably be in place that you can make that leap from high school to the NBA. That's what everybody's assuming right now. It's looking like that's how it's going to shake. So a lot of college coaches are just saying to themselves, look, we're not even going to waste our time. We know that this kid is going to make the leap from high school directly to the pros and will probably be the number one overall draft pick. So we're not even going to waste our time. Now, if in fact that rule does not go into effect, you better believe that this young man's mailbox out in Ypsilanti, Michigan is going to overflow with college offer letters. He's that good. But I love that perspective from his parents. You're going to be exposed to it anyway. Let's get you out there right now. Let's just get this piece out there right now. Get you in the public eye because you are going to have to figure out how to deal with this. And then it goes on to talk about his mentality. You know, two words when describing him, the Kobe mentality. You know, Kobe had the same mentality as a Michael Jordan, that stomp on your throat mentality, that tireless work ethic. It tells a story of how he was mad that he was missing, you know, in practice, or I believe it was during a game. Then after the game, he's sitting there and he's just shooting hundreds of jump shots. Then he kicks a ball in the stands and yells at himself, why am I missing? Why am I missing? And he's quoted and saying, I shouldn't be bleeping missing. You know, he's having outbursts like that. He is driven. He has that mentality. And, you know, and this young man is, you know, when you grow up in 2019, and this is what a lot of old school basketball fans have to understand. When you grow up in 2019, you are always in the public eye. Always. Because of that little thing that you have in your hand, probably about 70 to 80, maybe even more, 70 to 80% of your day, that smartphone. You know, social media, and again, highlight tapes where you're just one click away from looking up how good a young man is or looking up how many stars he has, that kind of thing. You are always in the public eye. And when listening to how this kid speaks, it's pretty amazing. You know, his parents have clearly done a really good job. A really, really good job with him. But the problem that I have with the piece is just how hyped, you know, the level of hype that Rosenberg tries to put on this young man, you know, saying that, you know, he's better at this age than Kevin Durant and his ball handling skills are much better than Kevin Durant's and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And I'm just sitting there saying, wow. And if this young man, because say what you will, he's still human at the end of the day. He's still only 15 years old. Can you just imagine what the disappointment is going to be after a piece like this when you are on the cover of Sports Illustrated at 15? What would the disappointment be like if he didn't live up to this hype? That is just a reality that I thought about multiple times as I read this piece. Is it fair? No. It's not fair. That's the obvious answer to that question. Is it fair to put a 15-year-old basketball player who is only a sophomore in high school to put his name in the same air as Michael Air Jordan, Irvin Magic Johnson, and the King LeBron James? No, it's not fair. But you heard the young man at the very first graph. I want to be the best player ever. When you make a statement like that and you're going out there improving it, at least right now on the high school basketball floor, I guess you're going to have to deal with that. Embrace that criticism that's going to come with that kind of stratosphere. You're going to have to deal with that if that's your goal. And is it fair? No. But, hey, life isn't fair. It's an interesting piece, though. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, I want to talk about Michigan State football and a new addition to the MSU football team. As a quarterback has decided to commit to Mark D'Antonio's squad. We'll talk about that and more. You are listening to the Halloween edition of WKAR's Current Sports.
Mysterious and spooky, they're all together ooky, the Addams Family. The house is a museum, when people come to see them, they really are
strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
All right, welcome back. Happy Halloween to you all. I am your host of WKAR's Current Sports, Al Martin. It's Thursday. And, you know, this week, Michigan State got some good news. Michigan State football got some good news. When it comes to the future of Spartan football, as the Spartans actually picked up a quarterback for the 2020 recruiting class last night, as Noah Kim announced his commitment via Twitter as he took an official visit to Michigan State during the Penn State game on Saturday. And, you know, that's a bit surprising, Alec. I mean, Michigan State got absolutely, because I thought about that, too. When watching that game against Penn State, cold, rainy conditions, Michigan State football gets totally blown out of the water, literally, at Spartan Stadium. And, you know, you saw the fans leave. I mean, nobody was there except people who didn't have anything else better to do on a Saturday afternoon and evening. I mean, it was totally empty in that stadium. The season has gone so bad. I said to myself, wow, if a recruit is visiting this weekend, what impresses you about this program right now? You know? So I said that, wow. So it surprises me that Noah Kim, after witnessing that debacle in East Lansing on Saturday, he was present there on a recruiting visit. It surprised me that Noah Kim said, yeah, oh, yeah, I want to be here. Maybe he sees opportunity. Maybe Noah Kim is looking at that and saying, oh, yeah, look at the quarterback situation here at Michigan State, especially that fourth quarter when you saw Theo Day go out there. You saw Rocky Lombardi go out there, in addition to, of course, the starting quarterback and Brian Lewerke. And you said, Theo Day, Rocky Lombardi, move over, because Noah Kim can be that guy in the future. This is the kind of talent you guys got at that position? Oh, yeah, I'm going to Michigan State, and I'm about to turn this thing around. So maybe from that perspective, I guess that's what he was thinking, right?
Yeah, you know, that's the only way you can think about it going in, you know, because, you know, Theo Day and Rocky Lombardi, they both were thrown out there for a couple plays, and I'm not going to lie, they did not look great at all.
Well, I will say this. When it comes to Theo Day, he didn't really have a chance.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, he threw three passes.
That's it,
Antonio
yeah.
said after the game that, yeah, he messed up a play, so we yanked him. Theo Day was 2 of 3, and that was it. Rocky Lombardi, I just don't have any more faith in him. I mean, the Purdue game, that was his one shining moment. I mean, that Purdue game last year when Lewerke was hurt, and he came in and saved the day, and the crowd is chanting, Rocky, Rocky, from the famed 70s movie. That was an awesome moment. I really thought maybe Rocky Lombardi may be the next, I don't know, Connor Cook or something like that. Kirk Cousins. But no, Rocky Lombardi, he's not an accurate passer. He makes a lot of things happen with his legs, but I just don't think he is a quarterback, if you know what I mean. So, and then Theo Day, I don't know. I just haven't seen much of him. Again, when he was thrown out there on Saturday night, he didn't have much opportunity to do anything. But if I'm Noah Kim, I'm looking at that and saying, okay, yeah, there is obviously a need here. Maybe I can come in and get this starting position here at a Big Ten university at Michigan State that has had a lot of success under Mark D'Antonio throughout his tenure. I can come into a program like here, like Michigan State, and maybe start right off rip. I don't know.
Yeah, Noah Kim, I actually watched some of his huddle highlights, and, you know, he looks very comfortable in the pocket, and that's something that I didn't see in Rocky Lombardi at all, you know, these past couple games that he's been in. And, I hope that this is the start of something that, you know, that can turn things around for this program, because as of right now, I don't necessarily have that much faith in Mark D'Antonio, as does a lot of other people. And, you know, people have been questioning whether or not Mark D'Antonio is going to be here by next season or the season after. So, I mean, that's another thing to bring up, whether or not he is going to be coaching Noah Kim.
That's another thing, too, because you look at these recruits for the 2020 class. These are Mark D'Antonio's recruits. These are Mark D'Antonio's staff, his staff's recruits as well. And if Mark D'Antonio does not survive after this year, what happens to those quote-unquote commitments? That's another thing you got to think about as well. That is a layer that you have to ponder, because young men who, you know, decide to play for a program, most of them go into that commitment saying that, okay, yeah, that's going to be my head coach. My head coach is still going to be there when I'm ready to officially sign on that dotted line and suit up for this team as a freshman on campus. And we all know what the dialogue is surrounding Mark D'Antonio this year, as Alec just stated. Mark D'Antonio, I don't see him sticking around after this season. I don't know. That's just my gut talking, just like many of you. We don't have any inside information where we can say to you that Mark D'Antonio said during a meeting, well, I'm hearing a source here that knows that Mark D'Antonio is pondering leaving the program, stepping down after this season. We have no inside information. We are totally going with our gut and looking at the production or lack thereof that we've seen this season. I don't see Mark coming back, but could be wrong. Who knows? Also, I want to address this. One more thing when it comes to this story, Alec, before we hit our final break. I have seen many people on Twitter complaining and got to be real with you, bashing Noah Kim because he's just a 3-star recruit. I think it is totally classless. Those who have done that, it is totally classless for you to do so, to bash a kid who is still in high school, who hasn't proven anything yet on the football field. He doesn't deserve that kind of criticism from idiots who rock green and white in their grandmother's basement sitting behind a laptop. It's ridiculous to bash a young man when he hasn't even done anything wrong. All he said was, I'm coming to Michigan State University to play football. And you're mad because it's just compounded, right? You want to see 4- and 5-star recruits come to Michigan State. And you want to see this program win football games. And they haven't won football games. So you're just aggravated. And any little negative thing that you perceive, you are going to go on that laptop, on that smartphone, and say things that you wouldn't dare say in person to whoever you are criticizing. Pump your brakes. Pump your brakes. That's all I'll say there. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on the Halloween edition of Current Sports as I will bring to you the top 3 things that would scare Michigan State sports fans. We'll be right back. That's one of my favorite Halloween joints right there. A little Rockwell produced by the great Quincy Jones. Michael Jackson on the hook. Man, Mike did a lot of Halloween songs, didn't he? Well, I guess just... No, actually 3 I can count. 3 that I can count. Thriller, this song, and the song Torture with the Jacksons. I guess Mike was a huge fan of Halloween. All right, folks. We've got some music that's going to roll underneath right now as we close out this Halloween edition of Current Sports by bringing to you the top 3 things that would scare Michigan State fans from this point forward. All right. So, Alec, you can roll that. Just have it underneath me playing as we close out the hour here. I am going number 1 with Michigan State basketball. This would really haunt you guys, all right? Because we all know that Tom Izzo is searching for that oh-so-sought-after second ring. It has been 19, going on 20 years now that Tom Izzo has not had that ring. Wouldn't it just haunt you? Wouldn't it scare the bejesus out of you if Michigan State men's basketball with all of these lofty goals and expectations, go out of the NCAA tourney in the first round. Yeah, I know. That would scare you, folks. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Because I'm still, I don't know about you, but I'm still waking up at night in cold sweats thinking about what happened against Syracuse. All right, so that's my first one. Number two, Michigan State football. If this season hasn't already scared you enough, you know what will really scare you? Because it can always get worse. It can always be worse, all right? But on November 16th, when Michigan State takes on Michigan, that team down the road out in Ann Arbor, it would haunt you if Michigan State football lost to the Wolverines on November 16th. And looking at how the Wolverines are playing right now, it looks like that may happen. Michigan and that molly-whopping that they had against Notre Dame? Yeah, that would scare you. That would haunt you. And last year, I got to address this. This would really haunt you. If somehow, some way, Mark D'Antonio came back for another season with the same staff. It's already giving you nightmares. It's already keeping you up at night, right? Mark D'Antonio too loyal. Looking at Jim Bowman and Mike Tressel and Dave Warner. All of those guys. Brad Saylor. Not getting the job done. What if they stay for one more year? That would also haunt you. All right? All right, folks. That's enough of that. I'm sorry. I probably just made your day that much worse. It's already cold and rainy on this Halloween. Hope you guys have a great Halloween. Be safe, and we'll see you on Friday. Be easy, people.